Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Hey there, American Horror Story fans. We are talking about American Horror Story Cult Season 7, Episode 7, Valerie Solanas Died for Your Sins, Scumbag. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hey there, American Horror Story fans. Whoa! Whoa! I wanted to start the show with a bang. Blow it up. Hey there, this is the AfterBuzz TV American Horror Story After Show. I'm your host, Elena Jordan. You guys can find me on Twitter at Elena Jordan and on Instagram at TheElenaJordanGirl. And I have my lovely all-female panel.
Yay.
Yeah.
No Sanders. Turds.
Yeah, no turds. Sanders was here, but we had
we got
to kill
rid of him. Yeah.
Ladies.
Hey, everybody. It's Ashley Allen, and you can find me on all social media at Ashley Reed Allen.
Hey, I'm Kelly McEnery. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Holly Weirdo.
Whoop, whoop. So, this is crazy. We are, like, officially over the halfway point here in the season. Mm-hmm. We're coming to the tail end of it, and we're getting some new characters. We're getting some throwback-y things. So now, I feel like this season is finally fallen into its American Horror Story tone.
Agreed.
It was kind of wavering a little bit at the beginning, I think, and I feel like now it's kind of got its stride. What do you guys?
Yeah, like the last few episodes I thought were really good. With American Horror Story ish. I thought this one was like a good, like, we're running out of the storyline. Let's add in some background history, like a really long, like Lena Dunham wants to play something with Andy Warhol. Let's do that. I didn't like that much.
It was okay. It was okay. I felt like they could have done something else, but for what it was, I do think that it flowed and kind of helped push the story further.
I like what they did. I mean, they always have some sort of twist thing where there's some reference to something that is actually historical and real people and allusions to things. I think it was a little bit of a stretch having Valerie Solanas and her ladies be the Zodiac killers. So I was like, well, that's a bit much, but
I did Google it to see, just in case. But yeah, no, no murders or anything. And she also didn't kill Andy Warhol. She just shot him.
She just shot him. He didn't die.
Yeah.
It was a lot of, like, it was kind of, they took some artistic liberties, to say the least.
They did. But, well, it did kind of fit because, I mean, like we've all been saying, we felt like Beverly was going to kind of push and rise up in her own way. And we did see that in this episode.
That's 100% accurate. So, yeah, this episode, we'll just go ahead and dive in and just kind of go kind of scene by scene for this one, because this one was one that was actually kind of a linear storyline.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Even though we did have our Andy Warhol flashbacks, even those were all linear. So that's, I think, kind of one good thing is structurally they seem to have found their way a little bit more.
Yeah.
So this one starts out with Andy Warhol, which I think a little bit was just like, hey, look how cool we can make Evan Peters look. He can look like Andy Warhol. Yeah. We wanted to find a way to make that happen.
It is good that, like, I like that Ryan Murphy picks the same cast, because it does show, oh, good, like, you can do that, too. I don't think it's much of a stretch to play Andy Warhol, though. I agree, it's just mainly the dress-up.
The look.
The attire. But it was fun.
But Evan Peters did a great job. Yeah. He channeled him, 100%. But we just see Valerie Solanas and the scene where she shoots Andy.
Yeah.
Warhol. And down with the patriarchy, and then that's the start of the episode. So that's, at that point, I mean, I feel like that really was just kind of fan fodder.
Cause that worried me. I was like, well, where the heck are they gonna go with it opening like this. So I'm glad they started over from the beginning, because I was worried, like, what is this it?
It was a good cold open for it to then, like, tie in later. But I am very glad that they went back to what's actually happening modern day after the credits. So now they also gave us a lot of our title screens so that we would know when and where exactly everything was happening. So we find out that this Brooksfield Heights, Michigan has now become national news because of the shooting. And we also find out that Allie is not being blamed for it like we thought. Right. So it is, they did record, Beverly did show what actually happened.
Yeah, she's still in custody, though.
She is still in custody, which is odd. Strange. Because it's like she was stopping her, and that was on tape. So how...
Well, they still don't know if she was in on it. Just because she didn't pull the trigger doesn't mean she wasn't an accomplice.
And she knew Meadow.
Right.
So maybe that's why.
And she also is, you know, a known anti-Trump advocate, which... They then have Harrison read this phony letter that is saying that it was all politically motivated and that it was in the name of Hillary, basically, and that she names Kai Anderson. Then they jump cut to Kai getting elected because of it, and then getting a retweet from Eric Trump,
which was so exciting.
Yeah, I'm like, their political jokes are funny, but at the same time, it's just like, oh, God, I'm sad. Yeah.
It's not even funny, just like, okay, we get you're making fun of it. It's, I don't know, there's not, like, any joke to it. It's just like, ah, yeah, hey, dumb, yeah, this is real life, dumb stuff happening, you know, with Trump.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Yeah. But we get Frances Conroy this episode, which was awesome. And we see her, she's playing Bebe Babbitt. Which, say that five times fast, that's fun.
Bebe Babbitt, Bebe Babbitt.
Yeah, you just turned to like Bugs Bunny at the end, or Elmer Fudd hunting Bebe Bats. But she is basically saying this whole feminist rally cry to Beverly. She confronts Beverly in the parking lot and says, hey, if Meadow really wanted to shoot this guy, she could just walk up and blast his dick off.
Which is
true. Why didn't she?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that she brought that up because, honestly, I hadn't even thought about it that way. But, I mean, she really did have some valid points, and I'm glad that even though Beverly was kind of like F off at first, that she really listened like, this lady is making some valid points here. Maybe I should listen to her.
I gotta say, too, you just censored yourself because we try to be family-friendly show here. But I didn't know that FX could drop F-bombs like that. There was like 12 this episode. There were so many. And it started with Beverly busting up in, saying that she's Beverly Mother Effin' Hope.
Yeah.
Telling Kai's legion of scary-looking white dudes from all over the place, which is just like...
Where did you guys come from?
Yeah. Apparently... all over. He's listening to all these cities from all these people who are rallying behind him. His He-Man Woman Haters Club. Yeah. As Winter later calls it, his No Girls Allowed Club. Mm-hmm. And Beverly comes in, basically is told, sit down. Yeah. And not too pleased with that information, then goes to the hotel and meets with Bebe.
See, I think differently now that we know what happened at the end. You know? Because we find out what he's behind it, you know? Yeah. So, like, I see what he's trying to do. I don't know. It's still funny to me that she thinks she's, like, standing up for him, but she's just still playing his game. Like, I don't know. I was, like, all gung-ho, and then at the end I'm like, ah, no! They still tricked him.
Because all he did was... the fear that he was creating for the public, all he did was create that fear within his own group.
Yeah.
That's literally what he did.
He just created a subcult within his cult.
Right.
And they even used the word man cult this episode, which is this the first time we've actually heard them use the word cult for this?
No, they said cult before.
They said it? Okay. But yeah, they basically are saying, they show how Beverly asked point blank about Meadow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, we then know that he is already in on it. So when he says that Meadow is a troubled soul, Beverly hasn't actually caught him.
Right.
He's got all the pieces in place. This is, I'm like, I am actually really interested to see how this is going to come together because there's only a few more episodes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So this is, you know, interesting seeing them then get this lady group together. Ivy with Winter saying, you know, they don't know where Allie is. Then Bibi being brought in and saying that history changes, but herstory keeps repeating itself.
Mm-hmm. Which is a good line.
Yeah.
It's true.
Mm-hmm. They had a lot of really good one-liners this episode. Yeah. Like, there was Bibi is kind of, yeah, like the queen of, like, really good buzzwords.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And after buzzwords. we also get a Valerie's backstory through Bibi. We find out that they were a couple and that Bibi and Valerie, like, that she was just the love of her life. Mm-hmm. Valerie had had a very tough time, had two children from either her father or her stepfather by the time she was 15.
Yeah.
Just horrific scenarios. And because of that, decided to do her own cult, basically.
Yeah.
With the SCUM manifesto. SCUM standing for Society for Cutting Up Men.
Which, that's hilarious.
Yeah, I'm like, that's pretty clever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the weird thing is that the whole premise, because they were trying to make it fit the Zodiac, was saying that they wanted to kill all men. But first, they were going to kill all couples that were...
Couple busting.
Couple busting. All heterosexual couples to show women don't hook up with dudes.
Just pick a different, like, serial killer that's killed guys. I feel like that's, like, such a weird stretch to be like, oh, let's just fit him into the Zodiac killer.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that was the only thing that just didn't really, like, it made sense to me that she was all like, okay, the only language men understand is violence. We gotta, you know, go violence.
Yeah.
But then for it to be like, okay, well, the Vallejo 1968 Lover's Lane murder of David Faraday and Betty Lou Jensen... The Zodiac killer
did it.
Yeah. To then say, we were the Zodiac, we killed them.
Also, they had the even Zodiac cloaks and stuff. Yeah. So I don't understand why Valerie was against the, like, games and everything when it's like, you guys are already leaving quotes and everything. Yeah. Like, isn't that what you want?
It's too much of a stretch. Because then we go to, like, the Lake Berryessa 1969 murder, where they paint on the side of the car, like, saying all of these murders are connected. But it was, to me, a little bit of a stretch to try to make it the Zodiac murders. It seems like it should have just been like, look, we'll make this a whole separate thing that's only true in our world, instead of trying to make it into a real-life scenario that I felt didn't really fit.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I thought the couple busting idea was just really strange.
Yeah.
And
it just felt like a stretch.
Sorry. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I didn't really like that idea.
Yeah.
It was too much for what they were going for. I think they could have made it work a little bit better. And I get, like, she was schizophrenic and they were trying to say, okay, well, everybody was just following. But if they'd maybe played that up more. Because they were saying, okay, well, she is then sent to the Mattawa Hospital for the Criminally Insane, where she's spearheading this whole operation, even though she's not actually present at the murders. But she doesn't want to reveal who they are until 1,000 people are killed, which seems like a very arbitrary number that would take them a very long time to get to. And is upset about the Paul Stein murder, because it wasn't actually them that did it.
Right.
It seems like the Paul Stein one would be the only one that would be them, because it's the only one that's just a dude by himself, like, just being killed for being a man.
I feel like, for me personally, like, the whole couple-busting idea maybe would have gone better if maybe they would have made the woman kill her mate or something.
Yeah, that'd
be good. Something more interesting than just killing the both of them.
A great idea. See, you need to be in that writer's room.
There we go.
Because straight up, had been the twist where it was like, you know, they didn't realize it, but the whole Zodiac thing was like, we kill her, but first we make her kill him.
Exactly.
And make him say things that pisses her off to the point that she wants to.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been cool.
That would have been really cool.
See? American Snow Horror Story. Hit me up.
Yeah, that would have been really cool. And then having it be really, really, like, emotional and mental and really psychologically, that would have been really good.
Yeah. Oh, I just thought the flashbacks were just too long. I think they were just forcing things like the couple, but like
too. It did. It basically was just like, we have Lena Dunham for this episode. How much can we put her in?
And
like, let's find ways to use her. And then having her come back, the Bristol Hotel 1973 scene, like, oh, she's back. She's in San Francisco. And then her starting, I was just dead wrong about men, then killing Bruce.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, psyching out, saying they were going to kill Maurice, and then killing Bruce instead, because Bruce was going to let Maurice go for the murders. They figured out based on the handwriting. Mm-hmm. It, like, even that seemed like a stretch to me, because it's like, okay, well, if you knew your handwriting, he would have just, like, typed shit. We see that they have typewriters.
Right.
I think they were just like, oh, we have Lena Dunham, let's make a whole episode around her. And I don't like that, because we all know Lena Dunham as, like, herself. Mm-hmm. I think they could have cast somebody we didn't know as Valerie, maybe I would have liked the flashbacks more, but the whole time I'm like, oh, this,
the whole time you're a feminist,
because I just, all the stuff that... She's, I don't know, I don't like Lena Dunham, so, and it just took me out of it. It took me out of, like, caring about the storyline.
Gotcha. I will say, while I feel like Evan Peters as Andy Warhol, I was just like, wow, I'm really engaged in this. When it was their scenes, mm-hmm. he really stole the scene, because it felt like, here's Andy Warhol and Lena Dunham in a wig.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, I mean... Yeah, that could have just been because
of her persona. Like, you could go off about this, but, like, I think she's too much on social media and stuff to be, an actress, you know? A lot of them, it's not about them in real life. It's just, like, that's why you don't know about Jack Nicholson and stuff. But, like, that's going real deep.
Well, that's why it's almost funny, too, because then... You know, later we see, and we'll kind of get into it when they talk about social media and how it plays into, and it did kind of feel funny that it was the Lena Dunham episode that he, like, throws in the whole, well, I'm not going to write a whole book that takes time and effort. I'm just going to write a social media post. And it's like, oh, was that kind of a zing at your own guest star?
I don't know. She did write a book,
too, but it's like her go-to thing or her social media post. I don't know. Yeah. I was like, oh, that was a little on the nose.
Well, I mean, it is what it is, so.
Yeah. I will say, though, I really, really did like when she was going into her schizophrenia mad thing. I thought she did a really good job with that. I thought she played it really well, and when she was envisioning that she was seeing dead Andy Warhol there mocking her. Mm-hmm. And that is, you know, a good point that they brought up, where she's saying, you know, you took my art, you took my life, you took my legacy, and then, well, shooting Andy Warhol is your legacy. Yeah. You are only known because it is Valerie Solanas. Isn't that the one who shot Andy Warhol? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Isn't that the one who tried to assassinate him and failed. Did not?
She did do the Scum Manifesto, too. That's, like, a real thing, because I Googled that. And that exists, but, and you could buy it on Barnes & Noble, apparently.
Oh, no, nice.
But, yeah, I agree. I thought that was a cool idea of, like, oh, yeah, she is just known for that now.
Yeah.
All of her hard work is just this guy.
Yeah. So that is kind of an ironic thing that I am glad that Ryan Murphy kind of shone some light on, because that's a story that I think not a lot of people know, is that this woman who her entire life was, I want to be separate from men and I want to stand out as a feminist away from men, is forever tied
to a man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, God, yeah, that's rough. That is rough. I can see how that could be a little bit of an impetus for a man cult.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting how when they were talking about the hit list that they made.
Oh, yeah. The hit list, Hugh Hefner, Billy Graham, Bobby Riggs, Steve McQueen.
Mm-hmm.
And the rationale was Steve McQueen made one of their favorite actresses into a housewife. But Beverly, though, takes all of this into consideration and says, you know, look, our plan now is to strike back, and this time we won't miss.
But he sets it up so well, Kai,
by
saying, like, oh, Harrison thought of this thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. It was so brilliant. Yeah. It was so brilliant. So Winter then goes to go see Kai, who is chilling with their dead parents. Ugh. And somebody on Twitter, too, pointed out that we were talking about how much we love all of the references that they'll put into literature and to arts and things, as well as the actual historic.
Yeah.
But the rose on the door is a rose for Emily. So it's like, oh, okay, that's a good reference. So
a rose for Emily?
A rose for Emily. It's about a, it's a story, basically. We'll get into the whole thing later, read it. It's a good reference.
Is it a scary one or a horror?
It's like a creepy tale, basically, yeah.
Okay.
But it's a good reference that I would not have picked up on. So, again, we love you guys. Thank you for sending in comments about things that we might not have necessarily gotten.
Yeah.
But when she goes to see Kai, Kai's sitting there with his parents asking, do you think that they'd be proud of me showing this vulnerability that I'm thinking now is also totally fake?
Totally fake. He's so calculated. You can't trust anything that comes out of his mouth, anything that he does or says. You can't.
He's a sociopath.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. And I'm American glad psycho. That they kind of touched on, I believe it was in the previews, where they asked Winter, do you really think that your brother won't even turn on you?
Yeah.
And I really... Even though I don't like Winter, I hope that based on everything that has happened so far, that she sees that her brother will take out anybody, basically.
Yeah, anybody so,
like,
who stands.
You're not exempt just because you guys are family.
I 100%. And I feel like she was being genuine when she said, you know, you're screwed up, but you're my brother and I love you.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think she is.
I feel like the only person he probably wouldn't turn on, and this is just because of... like I said, the role I think Dr. Vincent plays in this, I feel like he's the only one Kai wouldn't turn on. Anybody else is fair game.
Yeah, because when his parents died, who did he go to? His older brother. They didn't tell Winter until months later in Thanksgiving.
Yep.
So, so that seems to be the only parent figure. But I could see him even, you know, just snapping because he's so unstable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Going after Vincent and then totally unraveling Valerie style, which would be pretty awesome, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see what happens with all that. But he finds the Scum Manifesto, and as Winter's leaving, asks her about it, and she lies and said it's a college book that she had of just the ramblings of some crazy bitch.
Yeah.
Which he then says, no, this is something that is we're going to use...
Or his cult.
As inspiration, that basically we need a mission statement with a catchy title.
Yeah.
And that's when the social media thing plays in, where he says, how about fit, fear is truth.
Yeah.
And then MLWB, men lead, women bleed, which we find out is, he sets up saying Harrison came up with it. Right. He has a real problem with women, which...
No, I don't think... It's not true.
No, he totally made that up just to kind of put the blame on Harrison so that they wouldn't immediately come after him. He is just playing everybody like a chessboard.
I think that was a test to see, okay, can I manipulate these women too? And they fell right into his trap.
Yeah.
So I think little by little, all of the original cult members are going to die at some point.
I think so. Probably they're going to get picked off.
Yep.
But at the same time, I do think it is kind of funny that he's, you know, moving everybody around and he's manipulating all of the pieces like a chessboard.
Yeah.
But how do you win chess?
Get rid of the king. Right.
So who's going to get rid of him? Beverly, let's go, Beverly!
Yeah! And then Harrison calls Kai his...
King.
Boom.
Yeah.
So I feel like ultimately maybe it is going to be a whole, like, who wins this chess game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's going to take them out? Is the queen going to take the victory here? Poor Harrison, though, thinks that he's going to a surprise party for Kai. And that he wants it to be all Game of Thrones style. Which I'm like, why are you planning this surprise party that's supposed to be starting now? That's something that I didn't understand in the writing. That I was like, you want it to be Game of Thrones thing, but it's starting right now?
No, I think he just wants to give that to him later on.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, make like the throne or whatever, the Iron Throne later. Yeah. That makes more sense. Because I was like, wait, I'm confused by this timeline. Like, how quickly are you planning on getting this party together?
Yeah.
Well, and why would you be showing up after Kai?
Right.
So he was like, why? Where's Kai? Were you supposed to bring Kai? It's like, why would Kai be there if it's a surprise for him before you?
I think Winter was supposed to bring Kai, like, that. Like, they're like, oh, yeah. Winter's coming with Kai later. Let's all get into the, you know, surprise, like, sneak and, you know, hide and surprise.
But the surprise is actually that you're the guest of honor.
Ooh.
Ayo.
Then Bibi goes through her whole weird, I'm being creepy, men are sexually excited by death, and blah, 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 and whatever, which basically just makes Harrison go, who's the crazy bitch?
Right. Oh, my God.
I did love that. I thought that was kind of brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I like that whole scene. I think that was a nice surprise for me because I didn't see. Well, it wasn't until he showed up and I realized it was only the women there. I was like, okay, because you pointed out, you're like, he's dead.
Oh, yeah. He's the second he walked into the empty abandoned room, Kelly was like, oh, bye, Harrison. Yeah. That's the end of Harrison. This is the last that we will see of him. That goodbye.
Ivy, too, just, like, taking the lead and going in.
Ivy just, like, freaking jigsaw up in this piece. Yeah. Like,
that irritated me. But that's a personal thing for me. I just feel like I think my hate for Winter has transferred over to Ivy because it's like she has been, I don't know, I guess like, I don't know.
Winter's been acting out of love. Like, she loves her brother. She actually has, like, her motivation seemed pure, whereas Ivy is acting out of spite and resentment.
Yeah.
Because she's upset that her wife was closer to her son.
Yeah, I guess I feel like her whole reasoning for all of this is just really dumb.
It's
and she's been like the timid one and scared like this whole time, but like all of a sudden now you have balls and you're chopping off people's heads and arms and stuff.
You have, like, balls and you're stabbing balls.
Yeah, get out of here, Ivy.
And shoving those balls in people's mouths.
Yeah.
Ooh. Not what you want. Mm-mm. Not what you want, Harrison.
Oh, well, that's the other guy.
That was
that's
the other guy, oh, yeah. too. They found the dismembered pieces of Harrison later covered in scum, but it was arranged in the pattern, so we're assuming that it was the same deal as the other guy who had his business put in his own mouth.
Yeah. Beverly looks so confident, too, though.
Ooh, I love my God.
Yeah, well, when they are actually killing him, too, I do like that he is vehemently denying that he ever said anything, that it was totally made up and that, you know, that Kai had made all of this up and they should be going for Kai.
Yeah.
But I also thought it was really sad that his only thing about Meadow was that he said her death meant more than anything in her pathetic, miserable life. I'm like, damn, boo.
Well, they're all crazy now. Even Ivy was like, oh, I didn't kill my wife. I just drove her insane. Yeah. That's not better.
I drove my wife crazy. I didn't kill her.
Yeah.
They're all making excuses for their actions, and none of it makes any sense.
Yeah, they're all nutters. But, yeah, so what are your reactions to Beverly and that just, like, cold, hard Adina Porter stare that...
Looking just right at Kai.
What up, Kai? I'm serving you realness right now. Yes. Yeah.
I loved it. You could tell, like, she was talking directly to him. Like, this is not, there's no, like, side note here. Like, you know, she's like, you know, I'm talking to you. You know, and I loved it.
Yeah.
I loved it.
And then cutting back and forth was with his reaction of his just kind of, like, not.
I think this was the realization that we said before. Like, he knows, like, seriously, who his real competition is.
Oh,
like, we're not worried about Meadow. We're not worried about Ivy. We're not worried about anybody else. Beverly is the one that he needs to watch out for.
I disagree. Like, his face, I think it was just, like, everything's falling into play.
Okay.
Because that he knew they were behind, and he planted that Harrison was going to get it by saying that, oh, he thought of that, you know?
True. It's the move where he's letting Beverly think that she is the upper hand, but really he's cornering a different piece.
Like, I thought that too. I was like, oh, heck yeah, she's got him. And then they showed the reveal, and it was like, oh, man, he's still the king.
She's playing into his hands.
Yeah. Hey, BB.
Yep.
Because he knows her well enough to know that she was going to react like this. So, you're right. I agree.
And Beverly straight up saying it looks like the promise of law and order is not being kept. Which makes me wonder, too, because the whole thing about Kai saying, you know, the heavy is the head who wears the crown.
Mm-hmm.
And that all of these decisions are weighing on him. If that was bullshit for Winter's sake, or if there was some truth to it, and if that has something that somehow ties into to him now, basically creating more chaos, just in a different way.
Yeah. I think that whole situation proved to him, too, that he can't even trust his sister. Because she was the only one that he told that Harrison said that.
Yeah.
And then look what happened.
That's true.
Yeah.
So, Winter, you probably made a really big mistake.
Uh-oh.
About to get thawed.
Yep.
Yeah, I just, that reveal where it pulls out and he's just straight up, I think they're at their best when they're angry. Don't you agree? Aren't we all? It's oh my God. Rabbit. So I want to know how the hell they somehow got to. I'm wondering if we're going to have more Andy Warhol. I'm hoping that we do.
I think we're going to have another flashback, but it's going to be somebody that knows Charles Manson. Like, that's okay. How exactly, like, we were like, oh, how is he going to play Charles Manson? Oh, this is how, just flashbacks
of people who have met these people. I wonder if we're going to, some sort of, like, Squeaky Frome deal. That would be cool.
What is it?
Squeaky Frome. I love, I don't want to say I love Squeaky Frome. She was a friggin' murderer who was part of the Manson gang. But there's a play that is basic that has one of the best monologues ever that's about her falling in love with Charles Manson, basically.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, she was one of his diehard followers, and so we'll see if maybe we'll get some of that. That would be kind of cool. I'm hopeful.
Yeah. How do you think B.B. Babbitt and Kai got connected? I'm assuming that he found her since he finds everybody else in his cult. What do you guys think?
I agree.
You know, how about we just roll right into some predictions? Let's see what we think.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
So probably at some point they are going to show us how these guys connected.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think that's going to happen next episode, or do you think it's going to be further down that we figure out how they met?
I would say maybe next episode? Because, I mean, we don't have too much time left.
No, there's
and
only
we have to make
four left, three.
I would think that we would make sense of it sooner rather than later in order for this story to...
And this season they have been pretty good about the second that they pose a question, answering it, and then posing a new one. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that makes sense.
I think it could go both ways. Like, it'll be, like, next episode, or it won't be until the last one to reveal everything and be like... Maybe, like, the next few episodes are just him, like, having the women just tear apart the cult or whatever. And then at the end, he'll be like, I was in on it all along. BB was... I hired BB or whatever, you know?
Right.
BB was my baby.
Yeah, BB was my baby. But, yeah.
I don't know how they would have interacted, how they would have found each other. It almost seems like maybe it could have been through Winter going to school, doing her winter her women's studies classes.
Okay.
If somehow, since we see the dorm room things and stuff and Kai being there, if that somehow was a tie-in. I feel like they try to make everything tie in ways that you're not expecting, and that somehow pisses you off a little bit.
Yeah.
And we do have a little bit of the preview where Winter is saying, you know, Kai would never hurt me.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that this is going to be when she finally learns that that's not the case?
Yeah. I don't know if he would necessarily kill her, but something bad is going to happen. I said, she just showed that she betrayed him. So it's not going to be good for Winter.
The next episode is called Winter of Our Discontent. So I think she's going to die next episode.
Or
something bad's going to happen to her.
Yeah.
I could see that just because it is the title episode for her. So I could, having her name in the title could be the final betrayal.
Winter's coming.
Winter's coming.
And then the 10th. Oh, so there's 11 episodes.
Okay. Yeah, so we've got
Four more.
All right.
Yeah. But that's my prediction. She's donezo.
Yeah.
Winter is gone. Right. Bring on spring.
Well, I wonder if that's even going to be some sort of metaphor, because, you know, the whole new beginning and the new awakening and new life and spring and... Nah, I could see that, the death of one cult and the new life of another. Oh, I don't know. There's a whole bunch that they can do with this, because now we're finally getting some meat on these bones and figuring out what's...
Yeah.
And I do kind of like this whole men versus women thing right now. I'm not sure where it's going to go, but right now...
Post-apocalyptic feminist utopia!
I like it. Yeah. It's fun. I like it.
I like it, too. I think, you know, it's an interesting take that the women are saying men are the reason for all of the violence, so our response should be to kill them.
Yeah.
It's just kind of pointing out the irony and the hypocrisy in all of the... fighting people just to fight scenarios.
Right.
I don't know. I'm excited to see what is going to happen. Too. Next week, I'm excited to hear all of your fan theories. And where can people tweet you guys all of their fan theories?
You can tweet me, Kelly McInerney, at Holly Weirdo.
And I'm Ashley Allen. You guys can find me on all social media at Ashley Reed Allen. I almost said Sanders.
We miss Sanders. We didn't actually kill Sanders. Sanders will be back. We love him. We love him. I'm Elena Jordan. You guys can find me on Twitter at Elena Jordan and on Instagram at That Elena Jordan Girl. You can find us all at AfterBuzz TV. Find us on YouTube, SoundCloud, iTunes, all those good places.
Facebook.
Rate, subscribe.
Yeah!
Give us your comments. Give us your feedback. And tune in next week. We'll see you guys then. Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
It's me.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.